Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kay, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show. Welcome to the Life Talk Show, and our exclusive sponsor once again is Gabriel Tax and Accounting at 1297 Park Avenue in Bridgeport. They are awesome. This is tax season. By the end of January, you've gotten a lot of those forms in. It's time. Go there. They are so much less expensive than the storefront stores. They know what they're doing. They'll do payroll. But right now, I think we all want to talk about personal and business tax accounting services. So, Gabriel Tax and Accounting, thank you so much for sponsoring the Life Talk Show today. We have a wonderful...
You've been listening to the Life Talk Show.
Oh, yes, and you are still listening to the Life Talk Show. And we are talking today about the healing power of music. We are so excited about our special guest. And before we bring him in, let's see if you can guess who it is.
Tell me why you're crying, my son. I know you're frightened like everyone. Is it the thunder in the distance you fear? Will it help if I stay very near? I am here. And if you take my hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. And if you take my hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. Day is done.
I could just let the song go on forever and ever, but then that would be the... I know.
That is Peter.
In a moment, we will bring on our special guest, Peter Yarrow, of Peter, Paul, and Mary, but a solo artist in his own right and someone who's so involved with social change and really qualified to talk to us about the healing power of music, not only healing to our emotions, but healing to the world in many ways. So you guys, tell me a little bit about what role music plays in your life as a healing force before we bring Peter on.
Well, I think that music in general is, there's an intrinsic motivation to why we listen to music, why we play instruments. For me, I played piano since I was young, and I taught piano.
I didn't know you were, really, oh, that's right. You have mentioned that before. You've never played for us, though.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
But when I sit down and play the piano, there's a couple different things that happen. There's a lot of memories that are generated from the music that I play, and it's just a way to escape. It's sort of my
zen. And it's
zen.
A way to express yourself.
Right, it's a way to express myself.
Yes.
And whether anybody else wants to listen or hear me play... And I'm not saying if I'm good or not, but
it almost doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It takes me to a place that is very personal, and there's just a calm about the way I feel when I'm playing. And like I said, I think that a lot of people do find the intrinsic motivation in listening to music.
I feel that music, it comes out of it's an expression of the time, like the most beautiful songs were written out of civil rights movements, a broken heart. You go back to the history of music, and it's the most beautiful songs were written because of they stood up for something.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, as I am a singer and when Peter comes on, I'll tell him about my connection to Peter, Paul, and Mary. But
maybe we can have a duet.
So much. No. But you know, for me, it's all, I think that music reaches the brain in a way that just talking doesn't. All we need to do is think of a song from the summertime of our childhood. And for me, with the passing of Pete Seeger in just the past week or so, who is an incredible folk music icon, and I remember reading about Pete Seeger that his voice at the end wasn't
so strong, but he was a master at getting the audience to sing along. And then they were playing a lot of those things, and it's a different type of experience. So let's go ahead. I'm such a fan. I'm so excited. Our guest, obviously a member of the celebrated musical trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary, but he in his own right, you know, each of them had their own solo careers and special gifts that they brought to the trio and continue to use afterwards. And he earned a 1996 Emmy nomination for that Peter, Paul, and Mary great performance, Lifelines Live. But also he's received the Allard K. Lowenstein Award for his remarkable efforts in advancing the causes of human rights. He keeps performing. He keeps affecting audiences around the world, and he's a great activist. So welcome, Peter Yarrow.
Thank you, guys. What a lovely little introduction to having me on your program. I'm delighted to be with you.
Oh, we're delighted.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter, for being with us. An honor.
I just have to tell you, this is Randy, because I know you can't tell us apart yet, but when I was in high school, I still loved your music and love your music, but I learned to play guitar, and you guys were part of the reason that I did. So I got together with my two friends, Louie and Pete, and we kind of had a Peter, Paul, and Mary tribute band, if there's such a thing. We called ourselves LPR.
Randy, Louie, and Pete.
We were Randy, Louie, and Pete. And, of course, I sang the Mary part. But, right. You know, it's just, you're such a deep part of my childhood, and that song Day Is Done that we played at the beginning, my son, who's now 31, I remember he just still probably a 31. Everyone knows every lyric of that song. I remember he set up all the chairs on the deck and made people sit down, and he stood up and sang the entire song, and we sang along. And, you know, this is just the effect that your music has had on everybody. So thank you for
Speaks
that contribution.
Heart.
That's a wonderful story, and it's so, for me, every time somebody talks about how it is that they historically connected with the music of Peter, Paul, and Mary, whether it awakened their social and political conscience or whether it was a comfort to them in a difficult time or whether it was kind of the soundtrack of their falling in love with someone or with life. It's extraordinary. It's always remarkable for me to know about these things because, you know, in the many years that we performed, it wasn't until the later years that we heard about this. We felt the spirit of connection with people when we sang, as I still do now, but people really were more in the moment and living it, and now I'm reflecting on it, like your story, you know, it's a precious gift, so I thank you for knowing about that, and you can give your child a big hug from Uncle Peter.
I will do. It's hard to get my arms around him now. He's awfully big at 31. No, you know what, and I think he still knows those lyrics. I was going through, I've own pretty much every album, including, there was a time when you had the Peter album and Paul had the Paul album and Mary had the Mary, and I bought all of those as well. So yeah, you could say I'm kind of fanning over here. But you each have your own unique thing that you brought to the mix. And of course, I want to make today more about you than about Peter, Paul, and Mary. But I just love the activism that you always, always brought to the music, particularly here in Connecticut. We are just a stone's throw from Newtown. And last year, we had the Sandy Hook Promise Concert, and you were a big part of it. You sang Blowing in the Wind, and you sang Family. Can you talk to us about your involvement with the Sandy Hook Promise Concert and how it was for you?
Right. Well, because of the nonprofit that I started 15 years ago called Operation Respect, my life is really centered around the entire idea of making sure that kids, when they grow up, are surrounded by caring, respectful peers and teachers, and in school where we have, we have a kind of influence that we can't really have in the home, where that's very private. But in schools, we can work to make sure that kids are feel accepted, do not feel ridiculed or put down and bullied. And so this project that uses curriculum developed by Educators for Social Responsibility, which is basically all about developing the emotional and social growth of a child as well as their creative growth. And that's the other side of the report card. It's not math or science or literacy, but it integrates with the growth of the intellect. And that's essential for a whole human being to emerge with strength and with confidence and to be a constructive member of society. So this work at Operation Respect has a curriculum that uses tools that, when given to children, for instance, allow them to first identify their feelings, respect the feelings of others, learn the rudiments of nonviolent conflict resolution. They have a peace place, a constitution of caring that they draw up, and many, many tools. And integrated with that is music. Now, we happen to be with that program because of Joanne Freiber and the arm of Operation Respect that grew in Connecticut, and she was joined by others, and they were, you know, very, very committed. There is a very broad dissemination of that particular program. We're actually, on some level or another, in conjunction with other programs in about 22,000 schools in the United States.
And wow.
We also have a presence in Israel, where we started 4 years ago with just 4 pilot schools, and then it went to 30, and then 55, now we're in 80. And now the Minister of Education has put this curriculum and made it part of teachers' instruction in life skills.
And that's in Israel or in the States?
That's in Israel.
That's awesome.
Wow.
In the States, there's a somewhat larger country.
just a bit, with 50 governors and governments to make decisions. Right. Diana, that's wonderful. I need to know the website, and then Diana's got a question.
Yeah, no, I actually just really wanted to...
Wait, let me just tell you to answer the question. You asked, what was my connection to the concert for Newtown? And I can answer that, or you could go forward, and then we'll incorporate that into the discussion.
No. Tell us.
No, tell us about that, because that was very touching.
Right. So right after the tragedy occurred, the unspeakable tragedy in Newtown,
yes,
I started to get some calls from people who were from Newtown or from the surrounding areas. And they said, Peter, we need you to organize a concert, not to make money. There are other mechanisms and other concerts to raise money. What we need is a gathering of people who are from Newtown to share their grief, share their closeness, help to
heal,
love each other, and begin the process of healing. So, you know, everybody heals in a different way, in a different schedule. And for some people, they were not ready to heal. They were just in agony. And so I put together some performers whose hearts I knew were just right for it, including Dar Williams,
she's awesome.
Who sang a song called "Family," that ultimately was sung by her and
Frances Wheeler,
Francine Wheeler, who is a wonderful singer who I had sung with prior to this ever occurring, and on the Flagpole Cafe, which is a radio show that they did that has wonderful talent and comedy and music and drama, and I'd been there, so had my daughter. Well, Francine and her husband, David Wheeler, who were, and they were both part of the show, had lost Ben, their son, beloved son Ben, at 6 years old. And I cannot begin to tell you the devastation that they were enduring and how painful it was. And so through a series of meetings with Rick Brodsky, who's a therapist in Newtown and who is also a bass player and a concert promoter, and there are many steps, but what we ultimately had was a concert that was extraordinarily moving and powerful because the community just rose up together and said, we will not be defeated by this horror. We want to be remembered not as the town where the bloodshed and the killing occurred. We want to be remembered as the town that sparked the effort in the United States to go through a transformation so that we would prioritize our children, so that we would protect them. And of course, the protection involves the elimination of assault rifles and big, clips and et cetera, et cetera. But it also involves making sure that kids who are going through that tough time in school are not targeted, and then most generally they have scars and it hurts them through life, but sometimes one of the children is already likely or liable to be really tipped over into a place of psychosis, and that's apparently what happened.
Yeah. I just want to comment.
Concept.
Yeah. Yes. Peter, I watched the concert, and it was extremely powerful, and it touched the hearts. I could see, like, people were filming the audience, that people were crying, tears were, I mean, it was very powerful. You guys did a fantastic job, and the Blowing in the Wind and also the song Family was powerful.
Yeah, and there's so many issues that are brought up by Newtown, obviously, and we have talked about them a lot on the show. And we also did a show on educating the whole child. Mm-hmm. So it's just delightful that this kind of speaks to all of it. But to motivate people to take action, I think music can be such an instigator in the best way, such a tool to get people to feel. Feeling separately, alone in your own home is one thing. Feeling together as a group and the power of music to unite and spark people to make change is very, very powerful. Thank you. Diana, you had a question.
Well, no, you would just said it, Randy. Peter, I know that you are a big proponent of teaching to the whole child. And I've been in the classroom for 22 years teaching middle school, and I can't say enough about just that the success of a child is not just their ABCs and their 1-2-3s, but it's their emotional well-being as well. And if you know, for example, what had happened in Sandy Hook, if maybe perhaps that child or that person was considered in a holistic way, how things might have been different. How much of the violence that we hear about throughout the country and in schools, if focusing on the whole child and educating the whole child was the case, would some of this change? Because it's kind of a new philosophy, a new practice, really, I would say, in the last 5 years. Yeah,
absolutely. So we're going to come right back and talk to Peter about other things. And I'd like to talk about what you've been doing lately. And we're also going to bring up the colonoscopy song, which I find quite amusing.
I love
but
that song.
We'll be right back with the Life Talk Show and more with the wonderful Peter Yarrow.
Gabriel Tax and Accounting and Computer Payroll Services, LLC, in business in Bridgeport for over 65 years, are proud sponsors of the Life Talk Show.
bookkeeping, payroll, tax planning, and tax preparation for all business sizes. Personal taxes, too. Come into 1297 Park Avenue for rates lower than any storefront. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Call Gabriel Tax Accounting today at 203-367-7731 for an appointment or visit GabrielTax.com.
Last year, around this time, in the holiday, right about a month after Sandy Hook happened, I was part of a holiday concert, and they asked me to sing a Hanukkah song. So I'm like, oh, are there any? So, of course, I went, and I found this wonderful Peter Yarrow song, and I was able to sing it. And because we were so close to Newtown and to those feelings, this brought tears to a lot of eyes. This is called Light One Candle.
Light one candle for the Maccabee children, with thanks that their light didn't die. Light one candle for the pain they endured when their right to exist was denied. Light one candle for the terrible sacrifice justice and freedom demand. But light one candle for the wisdom to know when the peacemaker's time is at hand. Don't let the light go out, it's lasted for so many years. Don't let the light go out, let it shine through our love and our tears.
That song brought many, many tears that night, but it united people as well. So Peter, just amazing, amazing tune. I had a hard time getting through it with my guitar without crying. Can we go back a little bit to the moment when you heard the Weavers, Diana?
Yeah, this Peter, the song If I Had a Hammer, the song you heard at Carnegie Hall, was that a moment of transformation for you? Can you kind of speak to that?
Well, the concert itself was, because the Weavers, unlike performers in general, really did not sing to entertain. They sang with a motivational place to express a kind of solidarity amongst the four of them. Pete Seeger was one member of that group, and they also had a passion and a message about the kind of world that they wanted to promote by virtue of the music that they sang. They sang a lot of songs that were born in the crucible of change, like the union movement, traditional songs that spoke to the pain and the hopes and the dreams of people. And somehow, when I saw that, I felt, this is what I wanted to do. I didn't feel that I wanted to do it as a life pursuit until years later, but I was a senior in high school at the time. Mm-hmm. I had yet to meet Mary Travers, and I would 5 years later, but she was at that concert as well. And I think everybody that heard it was just floored by the power of it. It was amazing. The Weavers would have been would have ushered in a folk renaissance in the 50s had not the Joe McCarthy blacklist days destroyed their careers, because they were not allowed to perform anywhere. There were blacklists for writers of movies who couldn't. Wouldn't be hired anymore in the studios. And they were accused of being communists or communist sympathizers, and they were brought before the committee of Senator Joe McCarthy, and they were asked to name names, and if they named names, then they were left alone. Wow. And of course, very few of them did, and it destroyed careers, it destroyed lives, and it was viewed as one of the darkest eras of the country. So when you heard them sing in 1955, you heard people who had lived this alienation that was forced upon them by the McCarthy era, and the passion that they had to affirm justice.
That it right? was moving, that it moved all of you.
Yeah, it was overwhelming.
Yeah. A question, Peter, because yeah. you also performed with Peter, Paul, and Mary performed at the mall, at the National Mall for Martin Luther King in 1963, didn't you, guys?
Yes, we did. We were
performed
by Harry Belafonte, and there were lots of performers, but what distinguished our performance was that everybody knew Defy the Hammer. There were 250,000 people there, and when we sang it, they weren't listening, they were singing.
Yeah, I love that song. Right. I love that song.
And Blowing in the Wind had just peaked on the charts the week before.
Wow.
And so what it was a sound and a feeling that was not created by us, but by everybody there. I mean, this was a moment that was not the people who were assembled receiving a message. They were part of creating that message, and that message was embodied in those two songs, If I Had a Hammer and Blowing in a Wind.
I think that's wonderful. You know, in a way, when you think about, you know, music is... I used to teach drama in middle school, and I would tell the kids that, you know, if this were 100 years ago, you would have to go out and find music. They don't know. They just put their iPods on, or they turn on the stereo, or they turn on the radio, and music is available everywhere, anytime. But it used to be either an event that people went to, or somebody knew how to play the fiddle, or somebody knew how to play the guitar. But the value of music as a group event is, I think, why these days, even though music is available at home, it's very different when you go to a concert and you gather together and everyone's singing. If you just watched the Grammys last week, everybody was standing up the whole time singing along with all the songs, and it's a very different feeling when it's a live group event. And I think you're absolutely right, Peter, that when you sang that song, you were leading, but the group experience was 250,000 people singing The Answer, My Friend, Is Blowing in the Wind, or If I Had a Hammer. And was it different for you recording in the recording studio versus being live in concert? And is it still, not even, you know, back then, but as a solo performer, do you find strength and emotional connection in the group experience?
Well, it is different, and it was different, but there was a similarity, but there was a strong connection, because when Peter, Paul, and Mary sang together, unlike other performing groups, we would look at each other a lot of the time. We were not just singing to the audience. We were finding that very special moment of soul connection amongst the three of us. And we were each other's audience, so...
Yeah, and plus you can see that you guys, you cared about, you were just not singing to sing. What you were feeling the song, you were caring.
We were living the song. I mean, to go to, let's say, the Selma Montgomery March, or to go to another march in Frankfort, Kentucky, right, where there was a death threat, you know, and whether it was in the civil rights movement or the anti-war movement, there was an urgent sense that what we were saying, what we were doing, was what was needed for the country to be a moral country and to survive.
And it mattered.
Yeah.
There was an urgency there, far beyond the desire to get up there and show your stuff.
Sing, yeah.
The motivational place was totally different.
Peter,
beautiful.
Question. You know, and Peter, Paul, and Mary, I mean, you really became famous through your music, which was politically and socially, political and social activism, and so things like being involved in the march. I guess you organized the march in Washington in '69 for Vietnam, and
I organized that with a friend who I just saw recently there was a gathering at the UN all about peace education. Her name is Cora Weiss. Hmm. She's a brilliant peace advocate and organizer, and has been through the years. And this march on Washington to end the war in Vietnam actually attracted 500,000 people.
Wow. Wow. My God.
Would you be able to compare, if you had to look at a modern day performer artist, compare them to Peter, Paul, and Mary in that political and social activism?
Well, you have some people now who are passionate about the events that surround us. Certainly, Sting is a real has been for many years, probably a couple of decades, an environmental activist, and he uses his music in that way.
Sting is great at that.
You know, certainly Bruce Springsteen has been a great champion and advocate for causes, and he, when he was performing at the inauguration of
what about Bono?
Barack Obama.
Right.
He insisted that Pete Seeger come there and sing together. And then you've got, what did you say? Did you suggest somebody else?
Bono.
No, and then you have, there's, but to a large degree, music has been taken over by the commercial interests. It's all about making money, and for a lot of the artists, they may have it in their hearts to try and express themselves about these issues, but to a large degree, what's fostered by the business of music is music that will sell the most and make the most money, and that does not necessarily support the development of a new Bob Dylan, let's say.
Right.
Well, you say, Peter, we're all part of a long train ride, and that you see accomplishments as part of a tradition to be credited and carried on. You're nurturing new artists. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, you see, with folk music, when you start singing it, you don't have any sense at all that you're starting the journey independent of those people who have gone before, whether it's Woody Guthrie or Josh White or Pete Seeger or the Union songs or the Bards. So you're just joining that sweep of history and singing the songs for the time that you're on that train, which is a metaphor. And then at a certain point, like Pete, your journey has ended, but your music continues on that train, as does Mary's voice and her passion.
Lives on.
What's different about folk singers is that they, from a lot of pop singers, is that they actually show up at the events where, for instance, who shows up at the Occupy events? Who was there in Madison, Wisconsin? Who singing?
It's the folk singers, right? Yeah.
So, where you actually put your body in the place. I mean, most recently I sang with my daughter.
I've heard you sing with your daughter. She sings beautifully.
Oh, she's extraordinary. But we not only sang at the Nelson Mandela Memorial at the National Cathedral, where it was a 3.5-hour service, and it was a song that I had written for Nelson Mandela that he actually heard when he was in Robben Island. During that 27-year period, he heard that.
Yeah. Peter, you say when you come together and speak or sing, we can make a difference. The ethic behind songs of conscience doesn't change, even though the issues are different from generation to generation. How do you find it? I find it fascinating that if I had a hammer or blowing in the wind is still relevant today and three centuries ago, that it was, I mean,
decades.
three decades ago that was relevant. Well, most probably three centuries ago would be relevant too. But it's kind of like, how do you find that it's still relevant?
Well, because the issues that it to which it speaks are relevant. For instance, this song was sung actually by Dar Williams and me, if I'd remember, at the concert for Newtown. And you say, well, why is that relevant? Because in this time in which we are experiencing this kind of ridicule and cruelty that children foist upon each other, and not only children but adults, where ridicule is a sport on television, and you see it on Maury Povich and Jerry Springer, mm-hmm. and you see people annihilated emotionally on these shows, and humiliated, and that's supposed to be entertaining, and you see that the mean-spiritedness in Congress at this time, you realize that for us to really change the situation in the schools on two levels, we have to come together and care about each other. We have to care about the next generation. When in Africa, when two tribe members from different tribes would, or even the same tribe, would meet when they were in the bush, they would raise their hands to one another, and one would say to the other, "How are your children?" And the other would answer and say, "My children are well, thank you." And then they would ask, "How are your children?" That's the fundamental question.
It certainly is still.
If we want our children to be prioritized and safe, we have to create a caring community. And when you sing a song like If I Had a Hammer, that means that there is justice in the community. It's the hammer of justice. You don't have dramatic, ever-increasing disparity between mm-hmm. the rich and the poor.
Yes, and you bring awareness, Peter.
It's a sense of community, so that's relevant. It says it's the bell of freedom. When you don't have freedom, you have blacks who are second-class citizens, or you know, women who have fewer rights, you are not fostering a caring society. And when you have that in people's hearts, rather than caring about each other, rather than, as the song says, the love between my brothers and my sisters, mm-hmm. which is a lyric from the song.
All over the land. All over this land. It's beautiful.
That nothing could be more relevant. We just had a concert in Newtown just 2 days ago where Pete Seeger lived until he passed away. And that concert was for a group of mothers who say no more. And it was all about making sure that we could keep our children safe. Now, that means more than just keeping the guns out of their hands.
Yeah, there are so many issues.
Yeah,
from
an environment in which people care about each other. And as I said to them, every time you sing a song or you're kind to somebody or you bring them into your life in a gracious way, you are getting rid of a gun, metaphorically and in some ways.
Yes, that's so beautiful. From the sublime mm-hmm. and the global to the colon in a moment, right after this break. This is the Life Talk Show. We're talking with the delightful Peter Yarrow.
Gabriel Tax and Accounting and Computer Payroll Services, LLC, in business in Bridgeport for over 65 years, are proud sponsors of the Life Talk Show. Bookkeeping, payroll, tax planning, and tax preparation for all business sizes. Personal taxes, too. Come into 1297 Park Avenue for rates lower than any storefront. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Call Gabriel Tax Accounting today at 203-367-7731 for an appointment or visit GabrielTax.com.
This is the Life Talk Show, and we do thank Gabriel Tax and Accounting for being our exclusive sponsor for this show. Tax preparation season is upon us. They are amazing. They are personal and way less expensive than those storefronts. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak with Peter Yarrow today. We have been talking about many, many issues and the power of music to heal. And we've also done some research about the healing power of music in terms of therapy. Like, there's music therapy, usually after 20 minutes, there are observable effects like singing and foot tapping and clapping, and the results of a musical therapy session can last for several hours afterward. As Peter has been telling us, it's a force to unite us, but it can also be a force for fun and a force for social change through a sense of humor. If you've ever had a colonoscopy or thought about it, you might want to know about this song, and then we'll have Diana, who has a personal connection to this topic, talk with Peter about it. This is the colonoscopy song.
When I had my colonoscopy, I had a question on my mind. Do we all look the same when the doctor sees us from behind? Then I had the answer. I felt like such a fool, 'cause the doctor smiled and said to me, "Your colon's really cool. My colon's really cool." What a nice surprise. He sees a lot of colons, but my colon took the prize.
And that is the colonoscopy song. Diana, talk to Peter about this.
Well, Peter, I just want to personally thank you for that. It's such a fun song, but it's so important to get a message out, especially for something like preventative health. My brother, at the age of 38, died. He had colon cancer, and if he only had a colonoscopy, perhaps that would have
been here with you.
He would be right, absolutely. So my brother and my sister and I all go for our regular colonoscopies, and so many people are afraid to do that. So this is a great message and a fun way to get in there. And
are you planning to do any more
medical
plans, preventive health songs, Peter?
You know, if I could, I'd get a colonoscopy every day.
Lewis Black says it's like the best sleep he ever had. Yeah. Lewis Black, the comedian. He's like, if I don't eat, can I come back tomorrow?
Yeah. Right.
Right. Well, I was asked to do this by CBS. Oh. They were having colon cancer awareness month. And ever since Mary passed, you know, Mary had cancer, and she had a bone marrow transplant that was successful.
Yeah.
And so she actually did not die of cancer. She died of the
complications.
The very destructive results of effects of a chemotherapy that actually saved her life. But ever since Mary's battle with cancer, somebody asked me to help, you know, whether it's a young boy of 4 by the name of Ezra who's looking for a bone marrow patch, and, you know, I'm there, because life brings you to certain experiences that sensitize you and prioritize what you might do to be helpful in one regard or another, and it's a privilege, and I have a platform. I'm very grateful for it. And as Noel Paul Stuckey, Paul the People of Mary, had the most pithy comment. He emailed me, "I laughed, I cried, and I made an appointment."
That is exactly the result that you wanted.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor, who is a neuroscientist who ended up having a stroke on the left hemisphere, but it has recovered and is doing very well. But she used to travel around the country because her brother had schizophrenia. And Peter, I have a son with schizophrenia, and that's my advocacy for, you know, mental health services and mental health respect and so forth. But she used to travel around the country asking people to donate their brains to science, and nobody would ever volunteer. And then she got out her guitar and she made up this folk song about how we need your brain. And just the humor of using that song, they got way more volunteers after she would sing this kind of tongue-in-cheek. I wish I had it with me, but I've just thought of it on the, you know, so it's great.
I think you reach more people through music, because it's not so intrusive if you will sit there and argue with somebody. And you have used your music as advocacy, and you say it becomes a cliche to say think globally and act locally, but it works. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Right, I will. But first, I want to say that I fully understand. I'm in touch with NAMI, National Association of Mental Illness, and I've been working with them, and that is connected to the work of Operation Respect, too.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. I didn't know that. We're kindred spirits, then.
People with disabilities are really targeted, and when you get something like Asperger's syndrome, where somebody looks like they are, you know, perfectly normal, but actually they're processing information and experiences totally differently, then they get ridiculed and worse. And so we have to, part of what we need to restore in all these efforts is really compassion and empathy for one another. And that's
and love.
The bottom line. Love, yes. And those are manifestations of love. You know, and whereas when you talk about love, some people kind of relate it to the idea of the summer of love or, you know, biblical love. But when you say that there are many faces of love and really caring about each other in a way that we can walk
yes.
in their shoes and care about each other is really remarkable. Now, you're talking about thinking locally and thinking globally and acting locally. Obviously, none of us is able to aspire to change the world in some kind of comprehensive way. But
baby steps.
If we are connected to one another and we do care about one another, then we know that even just being loving your own child or helping somebody who's a friend somehow affects the whole universe. I mean, it's a...
Yes,
it
matters.
It sounds cliched, but that is what we have to do. I mean, that's the bottom line. And the Dalai Lama, who I met and around whose poem I wrote a song, is very profound in his expression of that. And he says, love everyone, love all strangers, love even your enemies. Love everyone, and everyone will join you to work for peace. Meaning that there is a magic in loving people that attracts others, and then they join with you, and in joining you, they are working for peace and justice and a better world. And so that the building block of making the world a better place more profoundly than screaming and yelling and at your opponent is really the power of
love.
Caring about each other. Of love, yes.
The power of love.
Can I ask which song it is that you wrote that was inspired by a Dalai Lama poem?
Well, his poem is called Never Give Up, and it's not actually been released in the United States, but I was asked to write it by the president of Warner Brothers Japan, a record company there, and they flew me over, and I made a presentation for the Dalai Lama, and I sang the song, and I said, it's now a retrospective album, which hasn't been released here, but it's a new song, and when I met the Dalai Lama and we had a conversation, it was brilliant. I mean, he's the most remarkable person. He's just a amazing. And it's all light and humor and love and acceptance.
Yeah. Kennedy said, Peter, that one person can make a difference and everyone should try. And I feel strongly about that. As you say, we can all make a difference in our small little way.
Yes.
We could also make a difference in a very substantial way if we are part of the problem. So we have a choice to make. And if, when we take our place on the prayer wheel, the Buddhist prayer wheel called the mandala, if we take our place in a positive way, we help bring each other to a better place in the world.
Yes.
I love that. Diana has a question. And by the way, we have about 3 minutes left, and I will be closing by playing The Great Mandala. Those are the four songs I brought in. So how cool that you, thank you. Thank you for the segue, Peter. Diana, you had a question.
Well, Peter, obviously you've written so many famous, songs, Puff the Magic Dragon, Day is Done, Light One Candle. We're going to listen to, Great Mandala, Torn Between Two Lovers. But I might have just mentioned it, but my curiosity is, which one is your favorite, if you had to pick one?
Well, you know, there is no such thing as a favorite, because each situation has a different character. And when you're singing the song that really matches what that situation needs, what you want to do in that moment, how do you want to create something positive? That song for that moment is your favorite. It could be Puff or Blowing in the Wind. It could be any of the songs you mentioned. But, it's a shifting kind of priority system. And it reflects the fact that our lives have many facets and that we are always presented with a new adventure and opportunity to either get there or deny that we're the part of getting there in a loving, caring way.
Okay, that's amazing. We have about a minute to wrap up. So the question on the table is, if you would like to leave our listeners with one thought other than OperationRespect.com, would that be the website?
No, it's www.OperationRespect.com.
.org. Okay, of course, for a nonprofit.
Yes. And it's a free program, and you can download it, and you can use it, and there are videos and 50 songs, and it can be used, and it's totally free. So go for it.
Okay, awesome. So with our final minute, if there's one final thought, we'll start with you, Peter. You can say it or sing it, one final thought, and then we'll each have our final thought, and we'll thank you at that point.
All right. Well, I should say, in God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me.
That's beautiful. I love that. Okay, I guess my final thought would be, and I actually got this off an Alzheimer's website talking about the healing power of music, but it just says music is central to maintaining human bonds. And even with dementia, if they've lost the ability to initiate communication, they can respond through music. Diana?
Somebody who has said some interesting things in the past, Plato. Music is a moral law. It gives soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and charm and gaiety to life and to everything.
Okay, and I go last. That's Nikki. Music acts like a key to which the most tightly closed heart opens. Maria von Trapp.
Okay. Peter Yarrow.
An honor to be with you.
It was an honor,
so
Peter.
You
are the best.
It could work. Yeah.
Thank you. If you would just stay on the line after we're off the air, I just want to get your address because I have a gift to send you. And we are going to close with one of my favorite Peter Yarrow songs, The Great Mandala. Peter Yarrow, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you,
this
Peter.
This is The Life Talk Show.
Thank you.
So I told him that he'd better shut his mouth and do his job like a man. And he answered, listen, Father, I will never kill another. He thinks he's better than his brother that died. What the hell does he think he's doing to his father who brought him up right? Take your place on the great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment of time.
You've been listening to The Life Talk Show on WDJZ AM. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki on WDJZ AM every Saturday at 4. The Life Talk Show. Join us.